Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson for today, especially the words of the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do pray your presence with us, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Now, as the Holy Spirit moved Luke to inspire your word here, may the same Holy Spirit keep your word present at this time to bless our hearts and our lives with peace, good cheer, as well as with strength and courage to witness. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. All of the time of preparation for this celebration of the birth of the Christ child, we think that adds to the festivity a bit. We think of the gifts bought and given, the cards sent and received, the visits that we have made or experienced, the cookies baked or other goodies made. All is part of the preparation for Christmas, especially, if you will, on the secular side. But then we think of those wonderful programs and services at church, the hymns, the carols, the children's program, the bell choir, the choir, the living nativity, all added up to a special celebration with Christmas Eve, with just about a packed house, giving God the praise and singing carols, and also Christmas Day. The excitement of the children, where we have children at home, as they open gifts, especially maybe wide-eyed on Christmas Day. Oh my. And then, now just 3 days later, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's all over. Many may be still away. Some may be sleeping in. Some may be ill. Some may be discouraged by the rain. But things are kind of quiet, kind of a letdown, a little bit of an aftermath. Oh, it's all over. Some maybe are glad, but I won't say, oh, I'm glad Christmas only comes once a year. Some might say, oh, I'm glad it's over. And maybe the children, the young ones would say, oh, if we could only have Christmas every day. At any rate, we are here with the encouragement of God's word to continue to rejoice. That's the call of the lessons, really. Not to let it get old, be gone, forgotten, but oh, that we would pause and reflect again. And really, of course, oh, that we would every day. But that we remember the promises of God through Isaiah like in Isaiah 61 and 62 there that we've just read. Oh, how great and glorious and beautiful. Clothed us with a robe of righteousness. Can't help but think of that beautiful hymn. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Beautiful. That's the Old Testament lesson for today. Come on and rejoice. Let not your joy and your peace grow cool. Reflecting Paul in the letter to Galatians. In the fullness of time, after all those prophets in times past, he fulfilled that promise and sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. And now we are sons and daughters, children of God, through faith in this dear Jesus. What a cause for continued blessing. And so we go again with Mary and Joseph in spirit up to the temple in Jerusalem. We're called upon, we say, to continue with that childlike marveling, with that very mature peace. And we follow with them. Luke, in the first 20 verses of his gospel, which we have heard several times in the Christmas season, Luke has told us about his birth. And then in one verse, Luke 2:21, he tells us of the circumcision and naming of the Christ child, named, of course, Jesus, which means Savior. Beautiful. His circumcision, part of the fulfilling of the law, if you will, for us, in a way, the first shedding of his blood. That's in Luke 2:21. And Luke 2:23 tells us of the completion of the days of purification. Luke 2:22, I should say, after the days of purification, that is in accord with Old Testament law, good Jews, the wife would be considered unclean for 7 days, and yet remain essentially quiet and hidden for another 33. And so this text begins 40 days after Christmas. 40 days after Christmas. And that's where we join with them on the way to Jerusalem. They're going up to the temple. Offer further sacrifices in accord with the law, part of the purification and the presenting of the Lord Jesus. And it is there that they meet this man. He had come in, we would understand, by the inspiration of the Spirit, an old man. Anna, mentioned later, was 84, so maybe he was in his 80s or older. And the Spirit had nudged him that this was the time to go to the temple, after having otherwise assured him that he would not see death until he had actually seen the Lord's Christ. That means the one the Lord had promised, the promised Messiah and Redeemer. And so somehow the Spirit said, this is the time. And out of all the people that were there, the Spirit otherwise directed to that humble couple And there that little baby. This was the Christ, the promised one. Think of the faith. Think of the faith there that the Spirit gave. This small, little, insignificant baby from this humble couple is the promised Messiah, the Deliverer, the Redeemer. And so he did know it and understand it and praised God for it. He took that little baby and said those beautiful words of what we call the Nunc Dimittis, Latin words for now let depart. Now let depart. By the way, now other translations, including the ESV, as opposed to the King James, including also Dr. Beck in his translation, which I love so much, mentions that it is kind of now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart, as opposed to the actual request, Lord, now let your servant depart. The indication is, Lord, now you are further fulfilling all of your promises to me. You're now letting your servant depart. This is the last thing that you had promised, and I have experienced it. I've seen and held your salvation, the salvation you promised that would come in the fullness of time. Let me say, what marvelous faith that filled the heart of Simeon. And then also, what further faith as he spoke words to Mary. So many in his day did have the idea that the coming Messiah was going to be a ruler, a king. But though it isn't spelled out in explicit detail, it is certainly implied in his words to Mary and Joseph that there would be suffering. There would be opposition. That's there evident. And just implying, almost saying, you're going to have a sword pierce through your own soul. Almost a prediction of Mary at the foot of the cross of her son. What an unspeakable thing. But apparently, he was among those spirit-filled and spirit-blessed, Simeon, that he understood the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah predicted that the coming Messiah, there would be kingship and ruling, but not on this earth as such. But he in his coming would be a suffering servant. We love that chapter, that glorious gospel chapter, Isaiah 53. He would be wounded for our transgressions. He would be bruised for our iniquities. Everything necessary for our salvation would be laid upon him, that with his stripes we would be healed. So that was the faith and the conviction and the word of praise and testimony of Simeon that we sing very often, as we shall sing today. We have seen the salvation provided by the Lord, not with the eyes of our body as such, as did Simeon, holding even with his hands, but with the eyes of faith. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, lifted up on the cross for us and for our salvation, and of course, not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. And then in the sacrament, we do, in a very real sense, hold and take with hand and with mouth the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Oh, so beautiful. And so, peace to you. Keep the faith. How? As we continue to do what we are doing, gathering in church, hearing His Word, using that which the Spirit has provided, His Word and the Blessed Sacrament, the sacrament of His body and blood, whereby our faith is strengthened and our joy and peace increased. There's the story that Dr. Hermann Göckel relates in his wonderful little book, What Jesus Means to Me. Dr. Göckel was now in glory, but he was a Missouri Synod pastor and director of the Lutheran television program, This Is the Life, that was on for many years in past decades. This Is the Life. And he wrote that little book, What Jesus Means to Me. And in it is the story on peace, that two artists were challenged to draw a picture that depicted peace. And so one drew the most beautiful picture of a lake on a mountain with not a ripple. All was quiet, not a leaf was stirring. And the other, the artist, drew a picture of a roaring waterfall, but underneath, under the overhang, there was a tree, and all in a branch, there was a nest, and a little sparrow, just as quiet and contented as could be. And that was considered to be the best depiction of peace. Because peace is not always there with total tranquility. And in our life, in the new year, we don't know what the new year holds. I do love that little quote. We know not what the new year holds, but we know who holds the new year, namely our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, the one who loved us so much that He gave His Son Jesus. And so in the new year, as in the past year, we won't always experience a life of tranquility with no problems, no difficulties, no trials, no aches, pains, and ailments. Who knows? A hospital visit? Or, even as the psalmist would say, facing, looking down into, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. With Simeon, we can really have that attitude of peace. What is it that really destroys and mars peace? Really, it is finally sin, separation from God. And that has been taken care of. Our sins have been washed away, washed clean in His blood. And the wall of sin that separated us from God has been broken down. And we stand in His presence as a loving Heavenly Father, as we heard from the epistle, a child with the inheritance of heaven. Oh, yes, we like life in the body. I would like to think most all of us here, if we got the word, I'm sorry, but you do have Stage 4 cancer. You only have 4 to 6 weeks or so to live. terminal, there might be a little quiver. But then, we remember. He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ never really dies. We just change our mode of existence from in this body to being in his presence according to our soul, according to our spirit. And so that we could even say with Simeon, "Oh, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," that's the psalmist, "I'll fear no evil." And with Simeon, "I'm ready to depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And then as this peace does fill our hearts, look around for somebody that doesn't have peace, that hasn't seen the salvation provided by our gracious God, and seek to share it. Maybe set your sights on somebody in this new year so near at hand. We have this wonderful word. We have this salvation. Invite somebody. Somebody, come and hear my pastor preach and share and teach of Jesus. Beautiful. Great thought. So, we continue the joy and peace of Christmas as we gather around word and sacrament and the word at home. Even using maybe something as like the portals of prayer that are available. Good devotion. And now we close with the word we might have been waiting for. Amen. May this be so. So we say, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.